Chair, as I'm just skeptical.
Good evening, folks. My name is Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Mark.
It's good to be up here. I want to thank my friend Rob for asking me to speak tonight. It's an honour to be up here, and that's been honest truth to all the newcomers and stuff like that, because I came in here for years, bunked in and out, and I sat down the back there, and I was just scared. I was scared to move forward in my life, you know. And if it wasn't for men like my sponsor there and men like Rob, I wouldn't be up here today. I realised today, I was thinking about doing this today, and I was thinking, like, I must keep remembering this. This isn't about me, you know what I mean? And that's the truth. Doesn't matter if I impress anybody here. I'm not looking to make anybody laugh or anything like that. I'm here for the newcomer and stuff like that. That's what it was taught to me, that to try to explain, not to explain, to show you that this stuff works. And I fought this tooth and nail, buddy. Tooth and nail till the end. My sponsor will confirm that. I'll get into that in a bit. I was out in the car, therefore I came in here. I just want to say this, and I was meditating. I got back from a retreat a couple of weeks ago, and 2 weeks ago I was up in a retreat in Wareham, and kind of got used to meditating up there. And I'm doing it every morning since, and every evening since, and it's pretty good. And I was asking myself, why aren't I nervous coming in here? Why aren't I scared? And that's the truth. And it's from doing this work. You know what I mean? It's from doing a fourth step, a fifth step, and continuing to do the work. It wasn't from going to AA. It wasn't doing 90 and 90. It wasn't getting a sponsor. It wasn't anything like that. It was from doing the work in this book. It's pretty plain and simple to me. From following the men that I looked up to from coming in here. I'll just tell you how I got to the fifth step. And I'll try to speak about the fifth step. I came to a point in my life. I was 40 years of age. And I bounced in and out of AA for about 25 years. With no success. As I just said, I got sponsors, I did 90 and 90, I moved countries, you know what I mean? In two different continents I tried AA. I failed miserably, as I said. I would gain a small bit of sobriety, I would get some money, get some trust, and I would just go back out and do the whole thing all over again. So this time, nothing different happened or anything, I just hit a roadblock in my life. I was living in Hyannis, and I was 40 years of age, and I said, Jesus, I said. There was nothing around me. I didn't lose anything because I never had anything. I never gave myself, as it says in the book, I sold myself short for everything. I thought I wasn't worth shit, excuse my language. So I didn't have the car, I never had the white picket fence, I never had the wife, I never had the kids, because in my head I thought I was a bum, I was a scumbag, I was a drunk, I was a junkie, I was this, I was that. And I told myself that for 25 years. So when an opportunity would come for me, I wasn't good enough for it. I was scared. So I was 40 years of age, and I called a man. He's my sponsor today, and I called him and I asked him for help. And as I said, I was living in a room in Hyannis. There was nothing around me. He came to me and he said, he suggested that I do this work. He suggested that my life will improve. He pointed out, my life will improve if I do this work. He didn't guarantee me. He didn't say anything like that, but he just... And when I was in that state, when he asked me that time about doing the work, I was weak, as it says in the book. I was detoxing, I was everything. So anything sounded good. Anything sounded good. Did I know I was an alcoholic? Yes. For a long, long time. Step one. Did I know I was an alcoholic? Yes, I did indeed. Was I willing to accept it? No. That was the thing. Was my life unmanageable? To me, it wasn't. To all of you, it was. You know what I mean? To the cops, to the court, to the hospital, to all of the public people it was. But to me, it wasn't. This isn't AA, so I won't get into some of those drunk logs because, my God. But it was unmanageable. And I only accepted I was an alcoholic not so long ago. But it's easy for us to say, yes, I am an alcoholic. That's what gets us in the door. You know what I mean? And it got me through step one, to be honest with you. But step two for me was... believing in a higher power. My sponsor pointed out to me earlier in life, I thought, or earlier in the program, I thought when you did a certain step or something like that, that I was going to believe in something. You know what I mean? But he said, Mark, it's developing a relationship. This whole process to develop a relationship, bit by bit by bit. And that was eye-opening for me, and it blew me away, because that gave me another push to go. You know, I was like, all right. Because as I said, I was going to meetings, two meetings a day. I was doing this, doing that. And my relationship with my higher power, which I choose to call God, wasn't there. As far as I was concerned, he did me wrong all my life. A lot of you can probably relate to that. But to develop a relationship, that was really a good point to be pointed out to the likes of me, you know what I mean? And When he said that, it got me thinking, it pushed me further again. One of the turning points in my recovery was, I was about 2 months sober, and my sponsor hadn't suggested I did step one and two, because I had, as I said, I had been in and out of the program for about 20 years. I had done up to a third step before. And as I said, I gained trust of a sponsor, and I got money back, I got a job, and I was gone. You know what I mean? I did the third step prayer with a couple of men along the way. And as soon as I got that trust and did that prayer, I was gone. So every time I went drinking and drugging after that, in the back of my mind, I didn't want to do it. That was 15 years ago I did the first third step prayer. I didn't want to do it, you know what I mean? I really didn't want to drink, but I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And I would drink more not to think about doing that third step. I would keep drinking more, thinking that I would drown it and drown it and drown it. You know what I mean? It never went away. It never went away. I always had that feeling of doing the third step prayer. I knew there was some kind of connection with something that I needed to continue. My drink was never going to be the same. I knew that for a long time. But after doing that third step prayer, I knew it was never going to be even close to being the same. But I called my sponsor. He was my sponsor about 2 months. I was sober 2 months. And it was coming to that time again where I was getting money. I was getting trust of family. I was getting trust of people. And I was ready to go. I was ready to go right back out again. I said, screw this. I have a couple of grand. This is great. I'm gone. Groundhog Day, you know what I mean? But I'm just thinking about it there, man. I was gone, you know what I mean? And I called the guy that's in this program, and he's a friend of my sponsor, and he lives next door to me, because my sponsor was busy and with his restaurant and stuff. So I called this friend of mine, and I said, buddy, I said, you better call my sponsor. You better call my sponsor fast. I was throwing everybody under the bus. I was saying, it's your fault, your fault, your fault. If you don't call him, I'm going out. He was my neighbor, you know what I mean? He was having dinner or something. I called him and said, you know what I mean? But that's what my mindset was. I was going to blame him then. I was blaming anybody. But I said, you better call my sponsor. I said, because I'm just going to go out. I said, simple as that. Simple as that. So my sponsor, he closed his place of business. He came down to my house and I saw him coming in the drive. And I was in a temper. I was in a mood. I was blaming the world. I was blaming life. And I see him come in with a copybook. I don't know what that copybook was for. I've heard about writing and stuff like that. But he came in and he could see by my face I was in a foul humour. And he knew by this time what a foul humour I could get into. You know what I mean? Because I was calling him at all hours in the morning saying, I'm going to kill him. He's dead. He can confirm it. He's here tonight. You know what I mean? It's his fault. I'm not feeling good. Blah, blah, blah. All that stuff. So he came to my house and with a copybook, I didn't know what it was for, and he came in and he just asked me, was I all right? And I said, no. He said, no, you know what I mean? I told him how things were, and he held my hand, and we took out the book, and he read the third step prayer, and he read it first himself. He asked me to read it. Then we read it together, and he told me, memorize it. And he got up and walked out. And as he was at the door, he turned, he goes, you all right? And I said, no. I said, no, I've done a lot of drugs. It's the only way I can describe it to newcomers. I've done a lot of drugs. It's like being high with nothing in my system. And it only took me till about a year ago to realize what happened to me. But at the time, I was like, okay, I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm this, I'm that. But something came over me that day. And I'm not saying that there was no white light or any stuff like that. But something happened to Mark. I speak about this all the time if I speak at a podium. Something happened to Mark, and whatever happened gave me the push to drive forward in this stuff. I didn't stop after that third prayer for some reason. Something happened. The other third step prayers, nothing happened. Something happened to Mark that day and I continued on my life. But I could feel there was a shift in my thinking for some reason. You know, it's hard to describe to people who haven't done it and stuff like that. But he gave me the copybook and a pen and he gave me some instructions and told me to start writing. For me, that's where the fun started. You know what I mean? For him, that's where the shit started. Because as I said, I used to call him halfway through the writing and blame him and say, I would blame him for the shit that happened to me when I was 15 and say, why isn't he fixing this that's on the paper? This shouldn't be happening. That poor man, I swear to God. He was my first amends, actually. I continued to write because I was eager to do this stuff. There was men in my life at the time that used to follow me out of meetings, out of Bass River Morning Meeting when I was in a rage or something like that and asked me to, You know what I mean? Stick with it, buddy. It'll be all right. You know what I mean? Just keep writing, keep writing. If it wasn't for men like that in the room tonight, Rob, my sponsor, there's a couple of more people here. They kept asking me, and it sucked. They kept asking me, how's the writing? How's the writing? How's the writing? I was like, boom. I said, if they ever ask me that again, I said, so my attitude was, they're just going to do it. I'm going to do it, and I'll show them it doesn't work. That was my attitude. I said, writing, I'll show them. Excuse my language, what the F and writing is. I said, watch this. Boom, boom, boom. Kept writing, writing. My sponsor would look over my writing every now and again and give me a few pointers and stuff. But the good thing about him is kind of he left me to my own device, not to my own devices, but like he wasn't ordering me around. He wasn't saying that's wrong, that, which I've come to realize after doing some work that I was finding out who Mark was, you know what I mean, by doing this stuff. So if I was getting orders from somebody else, I'd be finding out who he was. I wouldn't find out who Mark was, because I'd be like, he'd be in the back of my mind. So I was finding out who Mark was, and I found out who Mark was. You know what I mean? And what I found out wasn't, didn't blow me away. You know what I mean? As I said, I bounced into the program for a long time. I knew what I was writing down. I knew who I was. It wasn't like, whoa, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a lawyer, I'm a thief. It was none of that. I looked at it, I knew exactly what I was. The only thing is it's on paper now, you know what I mean? You're looking at it, and you're like, hmm. And it's continuous, so it gets drilled into my mind, you know. I found out from my writing I was very, very, very delusional in life, you know what I mean? I still am today, but it's fading bit by bit due to this process, is that I know how all of you are thinking, you know. That's how I thought. I would make up these stories in my mind, that like I'd come into a room like this and I'd know how Dave, I'd know Steve, I'd know Scott, I'd know exactly what everyone's thinking. I'd have this little theatre in my mind. Because that was comfortable, you know what I mean? And I realised after doing my writing that it was just absolutely delusional, the way my thinking was. Because I proved myself wrong every time. I practice it today, I go into a situation, I say, okay, I'm going to go into this situation, and I know what he's going to say, he's going to say, he's going to say. I go into the situation, no one says or does anything that I think, and I say, there you go, Mark. I do it every day. That's from doing this work. I practice that every day. I go in anywhere and I say, all right, I'll try it again. I'll prove these guys. I said, I'll prove these guys wrong. I fail every time. So the delusional part was a big thing for me. You know what I mean? There was other instances as well with family members, but I won't get into that for another step. But I hurt a lot of people, you know what I mean? A lot of people mentally, emotionally, and physically, some people. And still have to make amends to a few people. But that's another night. So I was ready to do my fifth step. And I was eager, as I said. I was working in Boston at the time, and my sponsor said, come over to his house. And I knew where he lived from previous ventures over there. And in a rage, giving out to him, telling him I'm going to kill him and everything. Yeah, I would go to his door and tell him that. But I went to his house, and he went out to his, he'd kind of a island out in his back garden. And I went out where he told me from the phone. He goes, just go out the back there, sit out there and bring your copybooks. At this stage, I had 14 copybooks. You know what I mean? I'd written 14 copies, and there was a lot of writing there. You know what I mean? I had two different lives. I had 25 years in Ireland or something. Like, so it was like that life and this life. It was just, it was a lot of writing there. A lot of writing, resentments, everything. But I went out to sit down on his island. He had a little island on the thing, and it was a circular kind of chair thing. The two of us sat down. But the only thing difference is he came out of his house with a BB gun. So this is the biggest thing of my life, right? And he comes out with a BB gun, and I said, all right. I said, this isn't part of it. Hold on a second. I'm looking at the book, and I'm like, this isn't part of it. But I had to realize that he was only a witness to this thing. That's all he was. He was nothing. He helped me to get where I was that day, and he was just a witness. It was between me and my higher power, God, who I was sharing that with. So whatever he did, listen or not, which I used to get offended before when I'd hear people talk about the fifth step and their sponsor was falling asleep. I'd be like, oh, what the fuck? Fuck him, whatever. But I come to realize after doing it that my sponsor's just there, as it says in the book. You know, it's been me and my God. But it did turn me off when he started playing with the gun. He started cleaning it and shooting at things. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, talking about... This is the most important day of my life, really. You know what I mean? I was really looking forward to this. But, we kept writing, we kept reading. We didn't do it all at once, which I was glad because my interest, my everything, my eagerness would have drifted off because I don't have that attention span. You know what I mean? I would have flipped out. So we did it in different stages. I'd go to his place again. We'd go to my place sometimes. He'd sit down. He'd be on his phone. And he's looking out the window. And the good thing about the reading was I was looking forward to the sex conduct because I thought I was a stud. You know what I mean? I was with a lot of women, you know. So I had all these lists of women written down, and it was for my ego and for my everything, you know, and I had all this list written down. It was like, so I called him up and I said, hey, buddy, I goes, is it any woman I'd intercourse with or I was just messing around with? He said, messing around with. I said, all right. So I was writing names. He came over to my house on the sex conduct part, and I said, right, will I call out the names? He said, no. He goes, what are you calling out the names for? I was like, shit. I wanted to tell him about all the women, you know. He said, no, just read through what you've done and where you were selfish, dishonest and all that. But it made me really find out how I treated the opposite sex along the way of my life, you know what I mean? Especially when I was drinking and drugging, and it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. Even people, like women I was engaged to and were willing to settle down with, there was a motive behind all that. Every one of those relationships was what Mark could get out of it. Whether they were wealthy, good looking, had a bright future, there was no looking at the heart or the mind or us bonding or anything like that. It wasn't anything like that. I was looking at looks. I was looking at, as I said, what she had in the bank. I would always see what the family had. Man, you know what I mean? That's not what I'm doing today. But after I did my fifth step, it says in the book there, I'm a kind of a stickler. I went home and I don't have any shelves in my house. It says take it down from the shelf and read the first one. So I put up on top of the microwave. This is stupid, but I'll say it anyway. It's an honest program. So I went up and I got the book and took it down and read the 12 steps. Went over the first five proposals. And I felt I didn't do it right. So I put it back up in the microwave. I sat down for a few minutes and I thought about it. And I got it again and I did it. And as well as that, I was waiting for something to happen. You know what I mean? So naive I was waiting for this big explosion or something like that. But not to deter anybody that's here that's writing, not much happened to Mark. But as you'll find out, like that, everyone's experience is different. Something happened to me later on down the road when I did a certain step, but that's for another night. I'm not going to say it now. But I did go to work the next morning after completing my fifth step, and I felt a part of. I really did. There was a freeing sensation there. It wasn't any white lights or anything like that, but it was a freeing sensation there that I completed something. I have some kind of connection with people here in the room. I have some kind of connection with my higher power. My life was better, I could say. That's how I could say it, you know what I mean? I was in a better mood there for a long while. I wasn't walking on air or anything, but I was in a great mood for a couple of weeks. I was at work and I said, you know what? I had this sense of feeling that, and this is the truth, that things are going to be all right. There's going to be shit, there's going to be debts, there's going to be this, there's going to be that, there's going to be tears, there's going to be sorrow. But at the end of the day, and I still take this today, like, as I was saying about coming in here, I wasn't worried about it. What's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen? I went around my life, all my life, people hating me, people wanted to do this to me, do that to me. What could I do in here? You know what I mean? What could I do in here just to spread some kind of message to the newcomers that this stuff, I'm not the guy that got sober two and a half, three years ago, and I'm too sure. I don't even think about it these days. But the reason I'm up here is just to say to you that if you keep writing and keep doing this work and follow suggestion from the sponsor, which I fought tooth and nail, I didn't even go into some detail what I tried to fight this with, but this stuff has changed my life. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm a man today. I couldn't look in the mirror for a long, long time. I was shaving the kitchen sink and I was getting the reflection off the sink. I remember that because I could not look at what I saw in the mirror. I hated it. Long time. This stuff is, I have a bit of dignity, a bit of respect. What has happened to me in the last couple of years is a damn right. It's just a miracle, and my sponsor will confirm that. He doesn't say it, but I know it deep down inside, you know what I mean? That I can carry myself. I can look at you all. That's a bonus for Mark because he went around counting the tiles and looking at the ground for a long time. It's an honor to be up here. I wish anybody that's writing, don't stop, keep going. These gentlemen kept on to me and it was the best thing ever. Keep writing. How's the writing? How's the writing? How's the writing? It was the best thing they could have done because no one asked me how's the writing or what are you up to, where are you in your writing. I just probably would have brushed it off. But there was men in this room that every time I met them, how's the writing? You're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing that. And I hated them for it, but I love them today for it. One other thing, my sponsor told me he loved me after doing the third step prayer. I told him I'd kill him if he said it again. I can safely say it today, I love the man, you know what I mean? He's in the room tonight, I love him as a man. I can love today is another thing. I didn't know what that word was, I never used it. You know what I mean? I was scared of it, but I can love family today, I can love my sponsor. There's other men in this room that I can say I love. And it's just an honor to be here. My life is better than that. Thank you very much, folks. That's it, buddy.
All right, if you knew this is important, please listen. Please, the fifth step out of this.